Okay, let's do the last bit, which is the Windows Store. Clearly, the ability to get your application out to the largest number of people is very, very important. And we're going to provide that through the Windows Store. And we've been working on getting the best possible store that is available, learning from what everybody else has done, coming up with some new ideas, changing the business requirements and the rules and so on and so forth, and building a store that's going to support our platform, your applications, for a long time to come. So these are the main elements that we're looking for we're going to provide in the store. First of all, discovery. The ability to find applications as quickly as possible. We're going to have, obviously, spotlighting type functionality. How many people here have put applications into a store, as a matter of interest?
Yes, a store?
Yes, any store. Yeah, okay, interesting. So, you know, the thing about stores is it's, from talking to people, I haven't done it myself, I have to add, but talking to people, actually how you sell things in a store seems to be very hit and miss, to be honest. There doesn't seem to be any particularly obvious way of doing it. Clearly, if you get up on the top bar, you know, of the search, then you're in for a hit. but after that, things get a lot more difficult, and you know, the amount it costs to build and maintain the application against the amount of money you get back on it is a very and the amount you charge is very variable. For instance, I know that certain stores actually do a lot better, not ours, but do a lot better from paid. But most of the people on Windows Phone seem to be making more money by doing advertising, strangely enough. And I don't know if that was yours an advertising one? Okay. So there doesn't seem to be any magic answer as to how the best way it is to make money on a store at the moment. Everybody's looking very hard, and there's a lot of different stories about how to make money, and how to price things and so on and so forth. But I don't think we've really got a huge amount of the answers on that. And I say it does seem to vary depending on the platform as well. But the first thing is, you know, if they can't find it, they're not going to buy it anyway. So the discovery thing is important. We're going to provide that. We're going to provide editorials pointing to the store. We already do that a lot through MSN. So we already have a whole bunch of people who do the whole editorial type activity. We'll pull those people in to do that. Obviously put links into things as well and so on and so forth. We're going to provide the biggest reach possible. We're going out in as many markets you know, as possible. We're also allowing enterprise distribution. So this is where you can, if you're an enterprise, you can have your own applications. We give you a certificate for that application, and then it can be distributed to your internal people. So it's like a side channel on the store itself. Again, all the different business models: free, trial, variable trial, in-app, third party. We have our own third party. I actually built an application with a third party. With an advertising. Support in it. It was very, very simple, I have to say. It was when our advertising SDK first came out. Has anybody here used the Microsoft advertising SDK? Yeah, because I was. Oh, is it? Not? Oh, it's US only. You're right. We're working on that. you're right. So this is Windows. Slide deck. There's a few words in here about the ad supported stuff. I don't know what they're doing in terms of coverage. I know they're increasing their coverage, but yeah, I apologize for that. Terms, so again, usual type of thing. We're actually providing the ability for you to test the application before you submit it. We're obviously providing good feedback about where you are in the process. Being much clearer about the terms and so on and so forth. We're actually allowing you to do your own commerce, for instance, on the store. So you can just use the store as a delivery mechanism and actually make the money yourself. Your application can have in it some charging mechanism, and we won't charge for that. That looks like us to it as a free application. So basically, we're only charging to cover the cost of doing the billing, right? The actual putting the thing in the store comes is pretty much free. And that's very different, right? Up to 80% revenue share, as it says in there, 70% at entry point, and then after, I think it's $25,000, you get 80% revenue share. So in terms of discovery, obviously, you know, we're going to link into it from Bing. Bing will actually search the store as well. So this is pretty good. You know, if you go into Bing, it'll actually come back with apps from the store. And you'll be able to click straight on the link in Bing, and it'll straight take you straight to the store, the app in the store.
What's with the socialist app? Where did it disappear?
Sorry, what? No, it came. Yeah, I think we took it off. It was an internal application anyway. It was not a.
So there's no Facebook, Twitter, app here.
No. We would prefer people to do that. We built it in the preview, so people could see the sort of things you could do. We would prefer that to be built by application developers themselves rather than us. We're not trying to build. We're trying to show what you can do. We don't want to build it ourselves because. As you know, you have to support it and all the other good stuff, right? It's not, we don't want to be in that business. So. Okay, so you can also, actually, this is one of the other things that's nice about the store, you're able to actually put a button on your web page, which will take you straight to download the application. Okay? So you don't even have to be in the store. You can just put your a web page up with a button on it, and the button will actually then automatically load it straight onto the device. Yeah. I've already showed you the store, so I'm not going to go through that again. Well, let me just. No, I think I've already shown you the store enough. Okay, so this is in terms of reach, how far the store's going to go. Oops. Okay, so this is the five countries that we don't support, which is Ethiopia,
Sudan,
somewhere else. There's actually somewhere around here.
Cyprus.
Oh, is it Cyprus? Why is this? What's all about Cyprus? Yeah, so anyway, there's five places we don't support, and don't ask me why. 100 plus languages support in the store, 200 plus markets, local pricing in 70 plus. I think you're one of them, aren't you? Yes. So you can actually do your own pricing. You can also say what markets you want to be in. All that sort of thing that you'd expect from the store as well. Economics, business. So revenue sharing, 70% standard, but then goes to 80% when you get over $25,000. So you know, if you start making a lot of money, $25,000 more, you get a much bigger slice of the revenue. Total. Yeah. You control the pricing from $149 to $999. We do have a tiered model, so if there's any specific price bands of prices that you can actually charge, you can't come up with some strange price, 48 cents or something. Sorry? Yeah, we support free. So you can put a free app. We don't charge off for free apps.
That's the cheapest price?
Yeah, the $149 is.
One is
everybody asks that. Isn't that weird? Right? Why isn't it? Why not 99 cents?
97.
I've heard that question. I've heard a lot of answers, and I'm not sure that anybody has a really good answer for it. I could give you the standard, you know, the standard answer. We have done lots of market research, and 149 was there. But you know, it's like I don't believe that. I sort of think what's probably more likely is actually helps a little bit on the business terms, because 149 sort of maps quite nicely to a lot of other currencies. You get down to 99 cents, and it's actually quite low in a lot of currencies at that point. You know what I mean? So 149 is sort of around about the euro price. It's around about where the pound is. You know, it's nowhere near where the shekel is, so I've no idea where that. but it does map to a lot of currencies quite well. And the third answer I heard is that when you get down very low, the credit card companies, of course, don't like it either, because it increases the number of transactions for them, and they like to make lots of money. So they make it's difficult for them to charge the huge markup on the lower sums. Obviously, that's not necessarily true, because a lot of other people charge 99 cents, as you all know. But I don't have a really good, like all business things, you know, so if it's technical, you can say, well, it's because it doesn't work, right? But if it's business, you get into a whole load of, we did a survey. So obviously, one-time purchase, time-limited trials, and we support all this, so you don't have to put any work in it. You know, you call up the control, you say, I want it to run for so long, you know, and it will automatically happen. All that stuff works. You can say, I want to turn on particular features after a while. Again, that all works. We support all that. Again, persistent purchases, expiring purchases, the purchase can expire. You can just set all this stuff, and we will do it for you. We'll actually, you don't have to do all the work of working out when things start and when they stop. Go ahead. This is the whole side loading. As a developer, you can side load, although I haven't been able to myself yet, but you get a license, you get a developer license, and you can side load, yeah.
As a user, is
that? Well, you can from a separate, I showed you earlier on, that Evernote thing, where you have a button, and it actually gets loaded. But that still, I think that just takes you to the store, to be honest. So my feeling is no, the answer to that, and I'll tell you why. Because actually what we do, and I thought I had a set of slides on this, but I seem to have lost them. What we actually do is we package up everything into a thing called an Apex. And the Apex has got everything that's needed for that application. So it has all your resources in the package for a start. And then on top of that, we actually put a block table in. And the block table has where everything is. So if you're halfway through the download, we can actually roll it back and that sort of stuff. Then on top of that, we actually have a certificate and security on the top of that. It's obviously encrypted in some way or other. I'm not going to say what it is, because then lots of people will know how to keep it. So we then encrypt the whole thing up. We put a signature on the top of it all, so you're guaranteed it's a good package. So that's what you actually get when you go up to the store. You go up to the store, and it loads this package down. It installs the package. It also installs the package just once on the machine for multiple users, if you have multiple users on the machine. Although how you'd have multiple users on this is a bit of a mystery. But it works out versioning and all that sort of stuff. The store also does updates. So if you noticed when I showed you the store earlier, there's actually a little one up in the top, which is updates that were still available. So all that's, the store does all that sort of stuff, and it all does it in this Apex package. And I showed you earlier how you set the capabilities for that package in Visual Studio. So you go to Visual Studio, you tick what screen sizes and formats you support, you tick what, you know, how they're allowed to use the machine, and that all gets packaged up as part of that Apex, right? And it's all encrypted.
So when a user downloads an application, it actually generates the certification for each hardware or Windows installation?
When it comes down to you, it's got a certificate for that package, right? That comes down. So you're guaranteed the package is good. Right? Was that answer the question? I don't think it was.
No, actually. If you're generating something dedicated for the specific computer, the downloaded it, so it won't be able to run it on another one to copy it or something.
Oh yeah, no, it's a license thing. Yeah, no, you can't take a package and copy it somewhere else. You can actually do it on, let me get this right, you can do it on like, for one ID on like 5 or 10 machines. And we're changing that number all the time. This might be in the slides. So the issue, right, is that, you know, hey, I've got a machine downstairs, I've got a machine upstairs, I don't want to pay for the application twice, right? So it uses your live ID, and it actually registers, uses your live ID, so when you register, you see what I mean? That's how it does it. So you can have it on multiple machines. Now, you could actually just say, here's a live ID to everybody, and the next 10,000 people are using it, you know? So there's a limit. So what we've done is we put a limit on. Now, the downside of that is that if you buy an application for your kid, for instance, yeah, then he has to be able to, he or she has to be able to access your live ID, which you don't necessarily want, right? So, understood that's a problem. we're looking at it. You know, there is a school of thought which says, well, hang on a minute, your kid is not you, so you should pay for twice. There is a school of thought that says, well, your kid is using a machine, so therefore you should be able to use it. I don't know, some of those things are yet to be sorted out. Yeah?
Is it possible also to make a license as such, an evaluation license for, say, 30 days?
Yeah, we do that for you. Absolutely, that's exactly what this does. So we can say, you know, this is valid for 30 days, yes, and will you tell us how long you want it? You tell us what features you want turned off and on, and we'll do all that. It's all part of the package. You don't have to write the code. Written up. Because it's not right. No, sorry, good. Good.
So if you provide a server application and a client application, and the server is not hosted, it's installed in each organization. So now hotfixes are starting to roll in. But the client in this model should actually be downloaded from the server.
The client, what happens is we
support subversions of the client.
It's actually the same problem when it's not an enterprise as well, when you think about it, because if you have two different users on the same machine, they have two different versions. One user's updated it and the other one hasn't. So it's the same issue that there is a versioning problem there, which I think what you're alluding to. We do a certain amount of versioning. The official answer I heard was, yes, we sort that out. Versioning is hard, in my experience, to get it right. So whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. But I know the answer. The official answer is yes, we sort that out.
And the volume license?
Oh. Well, no, this is for enterprise, right? Well, if you're enterprise, there's no charge, right? So it's like, we give, again, what the mechanics of that look like, I don't know. But the idea is that we give the enterprise a certificate of some sort, and they stamp their applications that then get downloaded onto the machines that have the other part of the certificate. Do you see what I mean? Yeah? So there's no problem. Then we don't envisage an enterprise charging its own people. But I mean, it's a good way of making money, but you can't do your job unless you pay us.
I'm not sure I understand, because it's the employees of the enterprise who should have downloaded the usage within the organization, right? So
yeah, that's the
usage. Actually, we, the provider of the application.
I understand your case. If you're an ISP, it's slightly different. Yeah. I'm talking here about. If the enterprise has bought the application, they can distribute the application. Now, do we do licensing for the ISP to provide the application? No, we don't. And I have no idea how that would work, to be honest. I understand what you're trying to do. It's a very good idea. But I don't know how that would work. What I would imagine is that it would be a business transaction between you and the...
Organization can buy a volume license.
This is a business thing. We could certainly do it as a business thing, I agree. All right, so purchase over time. I think I've covered some of these, haven't I? Using your existing commerce, this is really nice. If you've got an already relationship and you've got a back-end charging system, you can just go and use it, and we won't charge anything for it. And then ad support, you can either use our ads, or not if you're in Israel, I'm sorry about that, or you can bring your own ad system. Okay, go ahead. So this is from the Windows phone. Sorry, go ahead. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I want to ask, do I need two different applications for Metro mode and desktop mode?
Yeah. And this is for Metro. Okay.
Page
Yeah, well, that's really complicated, isn't it? So,
in the future, summoning.
You can search. I'd like to try it. I've got some code. So, the way it works, if you search anyway, any of our searches, you actually just give the search engine in the machine, you just give the keywords, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it works right to left, you know, I don't understand quite how that works. Do you see what I mean, right?
Hmm?
I don't know if that works or not.
I think so.
Does it? It would be very easy to try. It would be trivial to try. But I couldn't give you an answer because I'm sort of, it did occur to me earlier. And I was sort of scratching my head, thinking, I hope nobody asked that question, so thank you very much. but when you look at how the search works, it literally just goes down the search string in your application looking for something. So, yeah, I don't know if it would work or not.
When I download, if I'm on an ARM platform, tablet, ARM-based,
yep.
Will the market store
yes.
know if I'm...
Yeah.
Right download?
Yeah. And there's an application, as an application provider, you'll have to provide both packages as well. You know?
As a developer, do I need to provide the right?
Yes, you have to provide both packages.
But it's just like another compilation, right?
Yes. Yeah, you saw on Visual Studio, you click ARM and off you go. Yeah. Okay, so this is figures from the Windows Phone. This business thing. You know, if you do a trial, you get 70 more times more downloads. You get 10% conversions on that, so you get actually 10 times more revenue. I don't think that works out as numbers, but the bottom line is that
7 times more.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I'm glad my math isn't strange. These are not my slides, as you can tell that, because I've seen them presented a couple of times. Every time I go, But anyway, you get more money, is the point, if by doing trials. I think that's obvious. I don't think we need to have a slide on that one. Trials in Windows 8. Okay, you can have the time limited, so long. You can have feature differentiated. Okay, you know, you can, you know, we'll add these additional features. You can have a feature pack and so on and so forth. And there's no code involved, so you just literally select. You know, I want a 7-day trial on the drop-down on store. This is where the developer portal on the store. You say what you want, you say how much money, and it automatically puts all the information in the Apex for you. It's really hard to write. Has anybody tried to do it? A long time ago, I tried to write a time-based trial thing. It's so hard to write those. Trial conversion. This is a piece of code which shows what the license is. And when to do a conversion on it. Very exciting. Again, in-app purchase. So again, this is the code you put in to provide an in-app purchase. And actually, I can show you this because I have some code that does this. So the Contoso in the Italian. Anybody see the Italian? Oh, there it is. Okay, so you can see here it comes up, and there's no directions, right? And it says, "Hey, go and purchase the recipe pack." Okay, and this has got the code behind it, and you click on that.
99 cents.
You guys are too smart. Okay. Actually, this is the thing to do, right?
And this is just a trial pop-up, you know. So this is just an SOK. You can return an error code. This is obviously for testing. You just have the ability to return particular codes to your program, and then you go continue, and then it automatically goes away and gets the information back and populates the information. So that's how you do sort of feature differentiated. And
And that that's this is the code behind that. Just two lines of code. So this is actually what goes into the headers of that APEX product. So the licensing information is in here, expiration dates, so on and so forth. Gives you an idea of the sort of stuff that, that gets put in. Yeah?
Can you just show it again?
Sure.
Another one. Yeah.
This one?
Yeah. Okay.
I just did the demo for that. This is for the advertising people. I feel embarrassed because we don't support you today. I actually had a go at the advertising thing. We certainly do better on the phone from advertising, that people, our vendors, the people building applications, seem to do rather better out of advertising than they do out of purchase. So I don't know. Again, it varies from application to application, platform to platform. Your experience may vary. And this is a fairly standard thing. You know, if you want, obviously, you can do advertising in other countries. So you download the SDK, you know, you activate the ads, and you publish the ad for the application up to the store. So, okay, so this is the certification you go through. First of all, you load down, a test kit that actually runs. This is the certification test kit. You run it, it just comes up with this information, you know, what bits passed, what bits failed, and why they failed. We give status in the developer portal of where you are in the certification process. So you know exactly where things have got to. It's a lot more automated. And then we're doing a lot of work on providing, intelligent BI, statistics back on where you are. This again is actually really critical because you can play around with the application and make a massive difference in the number of sales and the amount of money you make. So watching this sort of stuff and having this sort of information is very valuable. Okay, as it said, so just very simple. We don't have this particular categories, which we're going to charge more for, anything like that. I know that certain stores say particular categories you get charged more for. I think that they want to have those categories themselves. I'm not going to talk about other people's stores, but that's what that's alluding to. Opportunity. Okay, so I think I talked about this earlier on. You know, there's 500 million windows being shipped in the last 18 months. 200, this was back at Christmas, so things have gone up a bit since then. This is the number of Android. This is the number of Android tablets. This is the number of iPhones. This is the number of iPads. You add them all together. Oh, that's the number of Macs. So you add the whole lot together. And they disappear. No, that's not right. it's still sort of less than.
This is the last desktop, right?
Yeah, it's the desktop. We have shipping. No, I understand, right? And so this is talking about a potential market opportunity, right? Rather than what's there today, because as you say, this is the desktop. The idea is, you know. This is the potential that we can ship Windows 8 onto. Don't forget, you can actually put 8 onto today's machines. So that's the sort of potential opportunity. It's a very simplistic story, I would say, the point, because it doesn't take into account what's going to happen on the tablet space or the ARM space. It doesn't take into account fragmentation. I mean, Android's got a fragmentation problem, as we know. How are we going to manage that fragmentation? It's going to be critical as well going forward. We understand that. So there's a lot of other stuff going on behind this, but this is the slide for the marketeers. Having said that, it is a huge opportunity. How many people here have an Android tablet as a matter of interest? Do you have a 10-inch or a 7-inch? Your tens. Yeah. So you know, I've got 10-inch, 7-inch, and all everything else, and there is a huge opportunity out there, especially in the consumer space. We've not really started yet. I believe that to start off with, we're going to see a lot of sales into enterprise. I think the 10-inch form factor, this is a really good enterprise form factor, actually. Most of the applications I can think of that sit on this form factor are actually ones that are enterprise-centric. And I think there's a huge number. I think the enterprise is just wide open, and I think we're very fortunate in Microsoft because we have fantastic contacts back into the enterprise. So I think we're going to make a significant dent into the enterprise space. Now, the consumer space, I think, is different. I think that it's difficult to see what's going to happen in the consumer space because the consumer tablets tend to be a bit smaller. You know, 7-inch seems to be, in my opinion, a better form factor. So the e-reader type form factor seems to be a much better form factor. And really, nobody's there yet. Apple doesn't have a 7-inch platform, of course, yet. And the Android ones are really not very good. They're still early days for the Android platform. So we're really just starting, in my opinion, with the tablet opportunity. I think that there's going to be a big opportunity in the enterprise space. I think Apple have just done a very nice job for us in opening that up and making people aware in enterprises about tablets. So we're just nicely positioned to take advantage of that. I like it when other people do the marketing for us. And I think that we'll be nicely positioned on that. And I think that the consumer side of things is still wide open as well. So it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a fascinating 3 or 4 years, see what happens and see how it all shakes out. You know, we've got a brand new platform, which is nice because we're ahead of the other people who've had a platform out there for a while now, and it's beginning to look a little dated. We've been able to learn a lot from their mistakes, put a lot of additional stuff in there, and we do have a huge reach and a huge, you know, a huge amount of touch. So I think there is going to be a very large number of tablets, which of course then translates to a huge opportunity for people to make money. To the point at which I'm going, you know, I'd quite sort of like to take 6 months off and go and write some of these applications myself. I've tried it. I tried it on the phone. I actually wrote some applications on the phone and I decided I wasn't going to go there. And a friend of mine wrote some applications as well, on the iPhone. And they did fairly well out of that. But I know that they're now developing for Windows as well, because they think there's a big opportunity there. As I say, it's going to be a very interesting time, and I think it's very interesting for us as developers, because the market, the whole business for development is changing quite dramatically. And I think there's big opportunities for a lot of people. Okay, I think that's about it. Any questions? No, I do know what you mean.
Publishing
It's a difficult one because we don't want to be seen to be censoring things. But at the same time, we don't want all that crap in the store either.
As like you said about being able to be discovered in if you are.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand. You know what? And like any search engine, you then get people who are in there, you know, doing work to spam this for the search engine so that they come higher in the discovery and all this.
But we
don't want to be particularly heavy-handed about it. that's not very good either. So we will definitely stop applications going in the store. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of applications that you're just not going to allow, right? Where that line is drawn is probably something that's going to be dynamic. You know, and so if we see a lot of spam applications, we may well, you know, start to cull some of those. And I know they did that in some of the other stores as well. You know, there may be applications which are not applications we particularly want. I mean, what I think would be best is if we could sort of tweak the search engine so it shut them down to the bottom, a bit like Google does. You know? So do something like that. But again, early days, and that will all be stuff that's done dynamically in the store.
You said earlier that Metro applications will only be able to be installed through the store. How about enterprise inner applications, which are not, it's not logical to be distributed through the Microsoft store?
Metro applications or?
Metro applications. As an enterprise, if an enterprise develops an inner application,
they get a certificate from us and then they can distribute it through the store. The store mechanism, you wouldn't see it. I mean, what I suspect will happen is you will only see that category, that application, if you're part of that enterprise with that certificate.
But
you see
it will still have to be out of the internet?
I don't think
store mechanism.
Yeah, you won't actually see
enterprise
that. Yeah, so what will happen is the store will say, do you have that certificate? If not, so they will only show up in the category if you're in. Yeah, otherwise, you don't want your...
It will be hosted inside the enterprise. It won't be on the internet store.
No, it'll be on the internet store. It'll be on the internet store and delivered by the internet store, but you won't be able to see it unless you're part of the enterprise.
Have internet.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks.
No, I know. I've been there.
Security.
I don't know. From in your application?
Sure.
So you have an application?
I'm a user. I have many applications that I use for to use.
Oh, you can go and have a look. They actually show up. You actually can touch up on the top right-hand corner. Just come out of PowerPoint, and it shows you what applications are open. Normally, I've only got one at the moment, but they it lists them. So you get a list of them. You can see them all. Go ahead. No, you have to go to the WinRT, right?
Exactly. So I would like to know what are the future plans for .NET using there?
No, .NET is part of WinRT, right?
It's not part of WinRT.
Yeah, underneath WinRT, yeah.
Underneath?
It's 4.5, you can have a look. I showed it earlier.
No, it is side by side.
It's actually underneath. So you have to go through NRT to get to through RT to get to .NET, but it is there.
C#, I know it will continue, but what about the assemblies that we use to work with in the .NET 4.5? I cannot use it in a Metro application.
No, you have to get. Can only use WinRT. Are there particular assemblies that you use that we don't have support for in RT?
Some
Oh, so the, what, they're yours, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. No, I, yeah. Yeah, I understand. They still work on the desktop, yeah. It's not, I take your point, if you've generated them yourself, yeah, it's, they're not going to work because, yeah, you'd have to go through RT, with RT, yeah. Anything else?
You are able to recompile it?
Yes, it should, well, you should be able to do that, yes.
You cannot recompile it because the namespaces are different.
Yeah, but you can change the namespace of WinRT as the namespace.
It's not
not transparent. I mean,
okay.
Try to understand, does the WinRT use some native API in this, or just it works directly?
It's effective. It's a runtime, but it's not like .NET runtime, so it's actually is only called at compile time and does the linkages at that point. Right, and then it gets out of the way, so it runs like native, effectively, unless you're C#, in which case, of course, it calls out to .NET anyway. Okay, so yes, it is. It looks like a runtime, but it is actually native. Okay.
But is there Windows API?
So there's RT has all the. A huge number of APIs in its namespace. I'm not quite sure what the question is.
Windows 32 API.
Oh yeah, no, you can't access Win32 directly, right? I suppose you could if you really, yeah. No, you probably could if you're in C++, you can actually go and make those Win32 calls. We can't actually stop you because it's native. Think about this. So if you're running C++, you can make Win32 calls, right?
On Realty?
Yeah, because
on a .NET Core library?
Not on the .NET Core library. No, it's a C++, right? Not C#, C++, right?
Right. C++ using generate a portable .NET Core library using
I have no idea how you do that.
I thought that's what you're saying.
No. So you can access Win32 because it's C++, it's native, so you can do that. Now, you're on your own if you do that. You know, who knows what happens. So yeah, I mean, you probably could. I can't see any way of us stopping you doing that. Well, I wouldn't recommend it.
Can you extend the
Don't know the answer. I don't think so. All right. Anything else? I'll be around for a little bit anyway. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.